start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, couldn't have seen this ass whooping coming. The San Francisco 49ers, my beloved San Francisco 49ers, the team of my childhood, the five-time Super Bowl champion, San Francisco 49ers, completing their tour of MetLife Stadium for the past 2 weeks, the consecutive weeks. They've beaten the dog shit out of both football teams that represent New York, but play in New Jersey, outscoring the Jets and the Giants, the beleaguered New York Giants, 67-22 in back-to-back weeks of football. Beating the Jets last week 31-13, beating the Giants yesterday 36-9, an anomaly, the first time ever that score is actually happening in NFL history. So not only did the 49ers win, they made history in the process. This murder in the New York Giants yesterday came through and crushed the buildings on New York yesterday. It's like New York been soft since Snoop came through and crushed the buildings. 49ers did this yesterday with half the squad missing. Everyone knows the injury story. Jimmy Garoppolo out, ankle sprain. Nick Bosa out for the season. Solomon Thomas out for the season. Your top two running backs, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman out for a couple of weeks. No comeback eventually. You're missing, D Ford, who's always hurt. Neck, back, knee, ankle, foot, fallopian tubes, dislocated vagina, whatever the case may be with D Ford. Richard Sherman out, George Kittle out. A lot of guys out. Half the squad. This win to me was on Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan schemed guys open, outclassed Joe Judge on the other sideline, put together a game plan and called a game that was advantageous to Nick Mullins, that would set him up for success, and he had success yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful performance yesterday by the 49ers. And I realize it's against the Giants. The Giants are absolute shit. They're a pathetic football team. And they were missing Saquon Barkley. They have probably the worst one of the worst offensive lines in pro football. Daniel Jones has no time to do anything. The 49ers got after it yesterday. I mean, this was a systematic, a fundamental, a surgical, methodical ass-whooping yesterday. San Francisco put on the Giants. Missing half the team. Half the team is in the ICU, hooked up to an iron lung, struggling to survive out here in quarantine, whatever the case may be. Debo Samuel didn't play, hasn't played yet this season. Rumored to be back by week 5 versus Miami. Nevertheless, they persisted. The 49ers, 36-9 yesterday. And I want to start by talking about the quarterback, the guy who filled in for the $27 million a year quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, the $750,000 a year, Nick Mullins, did his job yesterday and did it splendidly. 25 of 36, 343, one score, no picks, no turnovers of any sort. Accurate throws downfield, timing on point, no jitters in the pocket, no happy feet like you usually see from Jimmy. Hit guys in stride, gave him a chance to make plays after the catch. The guy, he knows the offense. I told people this coming into the week, like, Nick's been here since 2018. So if Jimmy got hurt and you had to plug a guy in, you had to substitute someone in for Jimmy and have him play the position, Nick Mullins would be your best option. He's been here for 3 years now, 3 or 4 years, knows the system, and is capable of running the system the way Shanahan wants the system to be run. So the familiarity aspect and what Nick brings to the field, Nick is a confident guy. You can see it in the way he plays. And to me, I wish Jimmy had that confidence. I wish Jimmy just had that conviction in what he's doing on the field and wasn't thinking so much, didn't have the wheels turning and smoke coming out of his ears in the field. Nick just goes out there and plays. He just slings it. It's instinctual with Nick. It just feels second nature with Nick. And no, I'm not saying that Nick should be the full-time starter, but that conversation's already taking place. There's already a quarterback controversy out there in the Bay. You already have people saying, maybe he should just take Jimmy's job. I would pump the brakes on that. It is only one game. It was against the Giants, who, like I said, are just beleaguered, pathetic, abysmal, horrendous, pure shit, garbage, etc. But it's still a professional football team, still grown men. They still practice. They put together a game plan. They have guys out there. They have guys getting paid out there. So you got to play who's on the schedule. And Nick is a capable, quality backup and a reliable spot starter. it is going to be when. I'm not saying he should take Jimmy's job yet. Jimmy is the starting quarterback in the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy should be the guy going forward. But if Nick is stringing together a couple of good games, that's going to put some heat on Jimmy. And Jimmy's going to have to, you know, that clock in his mind is going to be like, you know what? I should get back on the field. I'm hurt, but I'm not that hurt because this dude might take my shit. Nick was excellent yesterday. Quality throw. That throw to McKinnon on third down in the red zone. I think Fred Warner just came up with a pick off Daniel Jones. And Nick Mullins, back to pass, reads his progressions, goes through it, reads the defense, and just throws it downfield, a beautifully thrown football downfield to Jet McKinnon. In coverage, in between defenders, accurate throw, right where it had to be. That's all you ask. And that was consistent all day. Him and Brandon Ayuk, the rookie out of Arizona State, the guy we traded up for in the draft, they seem to already have a good rapport with each other. I think he had 5 catches for 70 yards yesterday. Had a beautiful 19-yard rush touchdown. And, you know, it's interesting, they use Ayuk the same way they use Deebo Samuel. So it's going to be even more interesting when Deebo gets back on the field and you have Ayuk and Samuel playing together. The way Shanahan's going to be able to use both those guys. A lot of pre-motion before the snap. A lot of motion before the snap. A lot of misdirection. Jet sweeps, handoffs to the receivers. You saw that all last season with Deebo, and Deebo was very successful with that. You've seen it so far with Ayuk, and Ayuk is also successful with that. That's why they traded up to get him. Shanahan was always enamored with Brandon Ayuk. A lot of the talk going into last year's draft was that we got that 13th pick from Indianapolis. They should use it on one of the highly regarded receivers in last year's draft, whether that be CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy. Brandon Ayuk wasn't even in the conversation, at least nationally, or even locally, amongst all other 49er fans. But Kyle Shanahan knew that was the guy he wanted because he's a physical ball carrier after the catch, precise route runner, good hands, good blocker, and he's tough. And those are the requirements to play receiver in Shanahan's offense. And you saw that yesterday. You've seen only, to me, hopefully, this is only the beginning. This is a young dude, his first start, I think. Played last week, but he didn't start. But so far, so good. But back to Mullins. He completed passes to 10 different receivers yesterday. Spread the ball around. Jordan Reed goes out the game in the first half. You would think this would handcuff Mullins going forward. Not the case. Poise, conviction. Just calm under pressure. No need to act ill. Listen when I tell you, you got to chill. Mullins was out there doing work yesterday, handling business. Didn't matter who was on the field. Kyle, schematically, on a weekly basis, the 49ers have a schematic advantage over pretty much everyone we play against. As far as play callers go, Andy Reid is the only one better than Kyle Shanahan. You can throw Sean Payton in that conversation. You can throw McVay in that conversation. Well, McVay just copied Shanahan's offense. I'll just go ahead and say it. As far as elite offensive minds in this league, Kyle's in that conversation. He should be anyway. He should be one of the first 2 or 3 names you mentioned. So he crafted a game plan that catered to Nick Mullins' strengths and what he can do, and Nick went out there and executed it. It looked like he belonged out there. It was interesting to watch because Daniel Jones, the quarterback for the Giants, the first-round pick, the guy they traded up to get, the guy they deemed to be the future of their franchise, the successor to Eli Manning, he didn't look as crisp or as calm or as relaxed, as poised as Nick Mullins, a 6th-round draft pick from Southern Miss, did. Nick looked like he belonged out there. He looked like a veteran quarterback. And like I said, he's been in the system for years, so he knows what Kyle wants. Kyle will basically give you the answers to the test. He'll give you the study guide. All you got to do is take the test and pretty much just fill in the blanks. The game plan is not going to be that difficult. Like I said, it's going to be a lot of misdirection plays, a lot of pre-snap movement to get guys open, try to get a mismatch and try to get an advantage for the 49ers before the plays even run. A lot of movement, a lot of motion, a lot of misdirection, deception. Get the defense off balance and exploit whatever weakness you created in the defense. Nick knows how to run the offense. I thought he was... I can't say enough about how good he was yesterday. And once again, I'm not trying to say he should be the long-term starter. Jimmy's a better quarterback. He should be a better quarterback. He's getting $27 million a year. Mullins is getting $750,000. The fact that this is even a conversation is an indictment on Jimmy. Why is it even this close? Why is this quarterback who's a 6th-round draft pick, an afterthought, who's a third-string guy 2 years ago, why is he even in the same conversation with you? Why is it even close? Why is he almost on par, if not in some areas, better than you? We'll see how this plays out going forward. We got Philadelphia next week on Sunday night. Philadelphia 0-2-1 with a tie yesterday versus the Cincinnati Bengals. 23 up, 23-23 over there in Philadelphia. So I don't know what kind of team they have. As shitty as their record is, they can still win the NFC least. That's a different story. Bats in the Niners. Mullins, excellent. Ayuk, exemplary. 10 different receivers caught a pass. Defensively, Fred Warner is the best player we have right now. Without Bosa, without Richard Sherman, Fred Warner is the linchpin, the rock, the heart and soul of our defense. 7 tackles yesterday, 1 interception. And what a pleasant surprise yesterday in Jason Verrett. This is another one of the 49ers who hasn't played that much football in 2 or 3 years. Tore his Achilles, missed all 2018. Came back last year, got smoked on 2 back-to-back plays against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then with a knee injury, he was put on IR. So he basically hasn't played since 2017. Yet there he was yesterday, making plays. Great coverage all game. Did his job, and he survived. No injuries for Jason Verrett yesterday. Hopefully. This is a guy, he's one of the guys, though, you got to cross your fingers, because he's never really shown throughout his career to be durable, to stay healthy for a long stretch of time, so you just don't know. But you take whatever you can get with him. If he can stay healthy for the rest of the season, him on one side, Sherman on the other, all of a sudden, now we have a great secondary, which we're going to need going forward, because our pass rush without Bosa is not going to be what it was last season. The pass rush was good yesterday with Deion Jordan filling in, Hyder Jones, they both... Kerry Hyder, I'm sorry. Each had sacks. I take our defensive line's performance yesterday with a grain of salt, because the Giants have arguably, like I said earlier, one of the worst offensive lines in pro football. But still, great performance yesterday from those guys. Daniel Jones offensively as a quarterback. 17-32, 179, interception, fumble. He doesn't look right. I don't know if it's the system he's running. This is a new system, a new coach. First year coach Joe Judge, who was a receivers coach with the Patriots last season, coming over. I don't know if it's because of the offensive line. I don't know if it's just slow development. This is year 2 for Daniel Jones. He doesn't look right, and he makes a lot of mistakes. He had a fumble and a pick. Inaccurate throws. His best plays and the best plays the Giants ran on offense all day yesterday was Daniel Jones running the option. You can't depend on that going forward. You can't depend on that at all. It didn't work yesterday. They only scored 9 points. So, I don't know. The Giants are a mess. Both football teams in New York / New Jersey are just disgraceful. Blame it on upper management. Blame it on the coaching staff. Blame it on whatever. Blame it on the alcohol. But these teams, I knew the beginning of the season, the 49ers had to win certain games. They had to beat the Jets last week. They had to beat the Giants yesterday because the back end of the schedule was treacherous. Seattle twice, Rams twice, Cardinals again, Saints, Packers, Cowboys. It's a tough schedule down the stretch. So these games on the front end of the schedule against the Jets, Giants, Eagles next week, Miami. Those are tough games. And then we play the Patriots too after we play Miami. Play against Miami. Buffalo too is on the schedule. Monday Night Football in December against Buffalo, and they're 3-0. They're looking fantastic. Josh Allen is showing you why they took him in the first round. I watched that game this morning. I love the creativity in Buffalo's offense, what they do with a lot of RPOs. They had Josh Allen running the option yesterday. 6'5 quarterback, mobile, strong arm, make every throw. I wasn't that high on him coming out of Wyoming. I think he had like a 56% completion percentage at the University of Wyoming. So I doubted his accuracy, but for what I've seen this year anyway, accuracy doesn't seem to be an issue at this point. And I'll go ahead and call it right now. Josh Allen is the real deal. Buffalo may have finally found a replacement for Jim Kelly. But no, back to yesterday's game. Covered the good. Mullins outstanding. Brandon Ayuk, excellent. Kyle Shanahan's play calling, tremendous. Defensively, Fred Warner, Deion Jordan, Hyder, Jason Verrett. great effort yesterday. The bad Jordan Reed suffered an injury early in the game. Doesn't seem that Kyle said in the post-game news conference, it doesn't appear to be long-term, so hopefully that rings true. Emmanuel Mosley with a concussion trying to make a tackle on Daniel Jones when he ran an option and got out the pocket. Collided with another teammate, got his bell rung. He was out for the rest of the game. Daniel Jones did get off. He was the leading rusher yesterday. And that worries me because going forward, a lot of those tough teams I mentioned we have to play have mobile quarterbacks that can run. And that seems to be the 49ers' defensive kryptonite. It's quarterbacks that can run and make plays with their legs and arms. Still got to see Kyler Murray again. Got to see Russell Wilson twice. Got to see Josh Allen. Got to see Cam Newton in a couple of weeks. The quarterbacks that can beat you with their legs and run out the pocket and make plays give the 49ers trouble. Even last season when we had the second-ranked defense in the league, we always got cooked by a team that had a mobile quarterback. It doesn't seem to be any better this year. And one of the reasons why I think we do struggle so much against teams with a mobile quarterback is Kwon Alexander. Kwon's in a hurry to get somewhere. He doesn't know where he's going, if that makes any sense. Kwon's going 100 miles per hour to get somewhere, and then when he gets there, he's too late somehow. I don't know what's up with him. He had some good games last year before he got hurt, and then he came back, and he couldn't find himself in the Super Bowl. And in the whole playoff run, he was pretty much a ghost, and he's not off to a good start so far this season. So for a guy getting the money that he's getting, you'd like to see better. He was brought in with a lot of expectation. Like I said, for the early end of 2019, he delivered on that expectation. But on the back end of 2019 and so far starting out this season, I don't know what I'm seeing. I see a guy who's just out there running around. It's similar to Russell Westbrook, what he said about himself in the playoffs versus the Lakers. I think it was game two when Westbrook snuck up the joint, played like shit, and he just in the post game said, you know, I'm just out here running around. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just out here running, getting cardio in. That's what I see when I look at Kwon Alexander. He's just out there running around. You hope he can get better. For the money he's making, you hope he can get better. We're going to need him going forward. Dre Greenlaw is also out. He didn't play yesterday. So you're going to need these guys to get healthy. I guess it's better that we have all these injuries on the front end of the schedule, because like I said, on the back end, we're going to need all hands on deck to play against everyone on the back end of the schedule. The interior line, offensive line for the 49ers got mollywopped up front. Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Dalvin Tomlinson destroyed the 49ers up front. Lakin Tomlinson had a bad day. Richburg was out. Brunskill got pushed around. As a result, our running game never gained traction. Had, I think, about 93 yards rushing for the entire game total. So that's not good. But a big reason for that was the way we got manhandled up front. And that was something that worried me last season. That was one of the biggest flaws of the 49ers I saw last year, was how weak we were in our interior line. That's what lost the Super Bowl for us. Mike Person got destroyed by Chris Jones in Super Bowl 54. Mike Person is now retired. Chris Jones pretty much ended his career in that game. He got washed badly. He got his lunch money taken by Chris Jones. Our interior line was always an issue last season. Most of the time when Jimmy got pressure, it was up the middle. Right into his face, right through the A-gap. Pressure up the middle, always in Jimmy's face. And when Jimmy gets pressure, a lot of time he gets happy feet, he'll panic. Struggles to go through his progressions. I didn't see any of that yesterday with Nick. I saw great footwork with Nick yesterday. But our interior line was always an issue. And I said going into the offseason, I would like to see some type of investment in upgrading that interior line, but I didn't see it. They brought in Tom Compton, I think. Whatever. Richburg tore his patella last year. He's still on the way back. Ben Garland, he's out with an ankle. So we're a banged up football team. Injuries everywhere. But they're 2-1. And in time for second place in the NFC West. Seattle 3-0. Arizona lost yesterday. Dropped a 2-1. Rams lost the game of the day yesterday in Buffalo. They were down 28-3. Came back. Took the lead 32-28. And then lost 35-28. Controversial pass interference call at the end of the game. May have hurt the Rams. But whatever. It's the NFL. Referees aren't perfect. But back to the 49ers. And back to our interior line. That's something we're going to need to clean up going forward. Because speaking of the Rams, as a team in our division, we got to see twice. Aaron Donald is defensively the best football player in the league. And he plays nose tackle. And that's a guy that could just wreck a game by himself. Especially when you have a weak interior line. Lakin Tomlinson gets pushed around too much for my liking. So we're going to need to clean this up going forward somehow. I don't know. They got to develop something. So, it's difficult to say the good, the bad, and the ugly when you win 36-9. Obviously, there's a lot of good. There's some bad. There's always going to be some bad during the game. The only thing ugly about the game, Kyle Nelson, the long snapper, absolute shit. After the game, Kyle Shanahan said he had a case of the yips. This is a guy who's been on the team for 9 years. So he's a veteran of the squad. He's never had any problems with snapping the football. But yesterday, I mean, to put it in a baseball sense, he was throwing wild pitches. To keep it in a New York baseball sense, he was like Chuck Knoblauch. For some reason, inexplicably, Chuck Knoblauch got to a point late in his career where he played second base for the Twins and the Yankees. And Chuck Knoblauch, for some reason, couldn't throw it from second base to first base. There was one famous play in Yankee Stadium where Knoblauch took a routine grounder at second, completely missed the throw to first, and threw it up in the stands and hit Keith Olbermann's mother. I kid you not, true story. And you typically see guys get what's called the yips in different sports, usually sports that are more mental than football. And baseball and golf. Mark Wohlers, closer for the Atlanta Braves back in the day, he had that. Rick Ankiel, a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, had a case of that. These guys both were pretty good pitchers, but eventually got to a point in their career where they couldn't throw the ball from the pitcher's mound to home plate. They would throw it in the dugout, they throw it to the backstop, they throw it in the stands, and they had no control over it. It was a mental thing. Fortunately for Rick Ankiel, he was a good enough athlete. They could put him out in center field, put him in the outfield. He was a good enough batter. He could play. He could make that adjustment, make that switch from pitcher to the outfield. Mark Wohlers, his career was over. He wasn't a good enough athlete. So once he got to the point in his career where he couldn't throw the ball to home plate anymore, that was it. So you typically see that in sport like baseball. Football, you rarely see a guy get to a point in his career where he just can't do routine things that he normally does. But you saw that yesterday with Kyle Nelson. There were multiple snaps on Robbie Gould field goal attempts where the ball was short. Wisnowski had to make a play. I thought Wisnowski's ball handling yesterday was spectacular. And even getting a hold of some of those snaps to get it down in the first place so Gould can make the kick. But there was a few times he wasn't able to get it down for the kick and to scramble out of the pocket and just threw it away to save face. That's why the score was 36-9. And it's just an unusual score, the first time ever that score has ever happened. We missed extra points, missed field goals. Wisnowski, the 49ers didn't punt yesterday. Not one punt the entire game, but Wisnowski still had a busy day trying to field snaps from Kyle Nelson, who was just all over the place. So that's pretty much the good and bad and ugly yesterday. Took care of business. Outscored both New York teams in consecutive weeks, 67-22. You come out of it with a win. You lose a lot of good football players playing back-to-back weeks in New York. Get back out here on the West Coast, back out here in the Bay. Hopefully rest up. Get some of these guys healthy, back on the field going forward. But a win's a win. It's good to be 2-1, especially in what I think is the toughest division in pro football. As you look at the NFC West, all four of those teams are good. There's not a dog in that division. There's no one, and there's no easy wins in the NFC West. You got to earn everything you get in our division. So every week matters. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Jets, Giants, Seahawks, Chiefs, Pittsburgh. Doesn't matter if you're playing a good team, a shitty team, a mediocre team. If you're playing against a professional football team in the NFL, you got to take care of business. Win the game, move on to the very next week. In the words of the great Bill Belichick, we're on to Cincinnati. Well, we don't play Cincinnati next week. But the point is, you're on to the very next opponent. So you learn from the wins. You celebrate the wins, you learn from the losses. That's all you can hope for. It's a 16-week schedule. It's a grind, week to week. So beating a shitty football team still matters in the win column. So that about wraps it up for episode 2 of the Deion Gordon Podcast. Stay tuned for the very next episode. I'll be recapping the other games that happened in week 3 of the National Football League. So until next time, stay safe, be easy, good luck out there. Picture me rolling. I'm out.